Along with the Christmas carols that we love to sing are many Christmas songs. The difference? Well, to me, a Christmas carol sings about Jesus and the real reason for the Christmas season, the only reason for the season, really, where a Christmas song is secular and it doesn't speak about Jesus at all. Now, none of that may be technically correct, I don't know, but that's why I said to me. So today I want to look at a Christmas song, okay? So you're going to have to bear with me, but let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the gift of music. Lord, not many people love music more than I do, because music can take you out of a bad mood. It can bring us closer to you. It can just make a difference in our day. And so, Father, I give you thanks for that. And Lord, at this time of year, we find a lot of music from Thanksgiving for the next few weeks. The songs that sing about you and about your son and about the real reason for Christmas. And Father, as we look at this song today that doesn't talk about you, Lord, let us see the difference between you and the world and the world's view of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the other night, we went to our one grandson's Christmas program. Micah's 5, he's in pre-K, and they had started out with the toddlers and then went up in age to the pre-Ks, and then they had some other kids that I guess are in a kindergarten class, I'm not sure, but they were older anyways. And they sang Jingle Bells and Rudolph and We Wish You a Merry Christmas and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And that's the one that I want to take a look at. So I imagine most of you know that song. And so I'm going to invite you to sing along with me. And forgive me for my voice isn't what it should be, but you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. With little tin horns and little toy drums, Rudy Toot Toots and Rummy Tum Tums, Santa Claus is coming to town. And curly head dolls that toodle and coo, elephants, boats, and kitty cars too. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, why would I want to look at this song? Well, to see what we allow our children, grandchildren, students to believe. Now, for the first few years that we had children, our kids, we have 4 kids, there's just over 5 years between the oldest and the youngest. In the first few years we had children, Santa was okay. We had this one guy that played Santa and just went around the neighborhood to houses, and and we had him come to our house one time, too. And as we matured as Christians, we got Santa out of our lives, out of our kids' lives. And some people thought that we were wrong. Well, you know, what harm can it do? You know, I mean, every kid always believes in Santa. And, you know, they'll grow out of it. You know, don't worry about it. Well, if we push the Santa thing along with the Easter Bunny, and I guess you can throw in the Tooth Fairy, too, if you want to. And then at a certain age, they find out that those things were just myths and that we were lying to them, telling them, you know, well, Santa's watching you, you've got to be good. And they figure out we've been lying to them about that. Well, what about Jesus? You know, hey, Daddy, Mommy, is Jesus real or is he just like Santa? You've been telling me about him, and someday I'm going to find out that Santa wasn't real and Jesus wasn't real either. So we as parents and grandparents need to figure out the Santa thing. And we would probably get tarred and feathered if our five-year-old went into kindergarten or pre-K or whatever and said, you know, Santa's not real. You know, he's just a big phony. He's a fake. You know, I don't believe in Santa. You know, you're stupid if you believe in Santa Claus. And, you know, our kids would probably get mugged. But I feel it's something as Christians that we need to have a handle on. I know some churches have Santa come to their children's Christmas programs. Never happened where we served, because that was one of the first things I would let people know. We don't do Santa. We don't do the Easter Bunny. We don't do that stuff. I know one church, they had had Santa for years and years and years. Santa had come to their Christmas program. Well, we were only there 1 year. Maybe it's because we didn't believe in Santa. I don't know. But actually, we left because we knew we needed to. But so that year, instead of having Santa in the church, they had Santa in their meeting hall, which was across the street from the church. And so I compromised with them on that. But you may not agree with me on any of this, but that's the way I feel. So let's look at the song a little bit closer. But where do we start? Well, how about the beginning? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. And the message we're giving is, children, Christmas is coming, so you need to act right for these next few weeks. No crying. I don't care that you fell and broke your arm. You're not supposed to cry, because that's what Santa says. Don't cry. You know, no getting upset that your brother broke your doll. It's too bad. Just get over it. You know, don't be pouting about it. That's the message that we want to give. Act the way I want you to act, because Santa's going to be here pretty soon. And so since he's been watching you, you need to be good. And I won't even go into the elf on the shelf thing. That's out there someplace. But that's supposed to be Santa's helper, I guess. So then the song goes on and says he's making a list, and he's checking it twice. And he's going to find out who's naughty or nice, because Santa Claus is coming to town. Wow. You want to make sure that you are on the nice list, or else. Man, if your name is on the naughty list, you get nothing. Or like they used to do in the olden days, even before my time, I guess, you'd get a lump of coal. That would be worse than getting nothing. You know, well, the kids are going to come up with a question like, Mommy, how's Santa going to know if I've been naughty or nice? Well, I'm glad you asked, Susie, because he sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake, and he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Well, that's kind of creepy to me, you know, that you got this guy watching you. Now, first of all, hopefully you are nice when you're sleeping. Okay, you get some points there anyways. But he's going to know if you've been bad or good, because he sees you. Now, isn't that kind of a scary thought, to have this fat old man watching you 24/7? And, well, why should we be good? The song says, for goodness sake, but the theme of the song is, if you want to get anything for Christmas, you better be good. Not be good because it's the right thing to do. Not to be good for goodness sake, but to be good because you want to get some gifts, and Santa's not going to bring you anything if you've been bad. Well, then the song goes on to tell us the great toys that good children will get. not you naughty little kids. So, as long as we're talking about Santa and Christmas, let's talk about the Lord as well. And let's just change a few words to the song, okay? You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Now, wait a minute, that just doesn't sound right, does it? You know, Jesus doesn't make a list of the naughty and nice, because if he did, no one ever would be on the nice list. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 in the New Living Translation. This is what it tells us. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." So the chances of us making the nice list are zero. Because if only God is good, well, you could translate that only God is nice. And God always sees how we're living our lives, not just starting after Thanksgiving to Christmas for that month. And he sees us when we're sleeping. And he sees us when we're acting naughty. So no matter how we're living, we have one great thing to know, is he loves us. And do not forget this one important thing. Jesus died for us because he knew that we could not be good. That he had to come and give his life because our lives would never, ever be able to measure up. Now, there's a few more important things from this song. First, our pouting and crying don't count against us. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it tells us to expect troubles, and that's when we might cry or pout. In the NIV, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So, you know, when we're being tested, you know, sometimes that brings on the tears. Sometimes, you know, we can't handle the pressure. And 1 Peter 1, 6, in the New Century Version says, "This makes you very happy, even though for a short time, different kinds of troubles may make you sad." Okay, so again, you know, you may go through some troubles that are going to make you sad, going to make you cry. Don't worry about it, okay? God doesn't count that against you like Santa does. And God wants us to be good always because we're called to be like his son. In John's first letter, chapter 3, verse 7, New Century Version, it says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you the wrong way. Christ is righteous, so be like Christ. To be like Christ, a person must do what is right." And then Paul tells us in Philippians 2:5, he says, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Okay? So we've got to think and act like Christ. Okay. The third thing it says is Jesus isn't coming to town. He's living in you. Okay. Hey, Paul had these words for us in Romans 8:10, New Living Translation. Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. And then he tells us in Colossians 1:27, God decided to let his people know this rich and glorious secret that he has for all people. This secret is Christ himself, who is in you. He is our only hope for glory. So Jesus isn't going to just come to town. He's already there. Okay, now he's coming back again. Okay, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, he's coming to town, but not in any specified time like Santa was supposed to be. And the fourth thing, it says, you do not have to be good to be accepted by God. Praise God for that. Okay, because we've always been told that we can't be good. In Luke 23:43, Jesus had this to say to the thief on the cross next to him. Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, Jesus was on the cross as an innocent man, but the other two men that were on the crosses next to him, they were not innocent. They were there for crimes they had committed. Okay, so Jesus didn't tell this guy on the cross. He said, you know, you don't really have time to be good enough. And so, I don't know. But no, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, because he believed. And we're told this happened at Pentecost in Acts 2:41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. So the chances of 3,000 good people being added? No, since no one can be good except God. Those 3,000 people, they were accepted as is, just the way they had been living their lives, and now turning them over to Christ. So my feeling is, don't go the Santa route, okay? Let your children and your grandchildren know right up front that Jesus, nobody else, no one else, is the only reason for the season. But let him know that it doesn't stop there. Jesus is the reason, period. Okay? Jesus is the reason for, you know, a Tuesday in July, a Monday in February. Jesus is the reason for every day, for every moment. And you're not going to go wrong if you let your kids know that, if you teach that to your grandchildren. So, as there's only not even 2 weeks until Christmas, and everybody is going wacko shopping, you know, there's more online shopping every year, but the stores are still jammed with people, the malls are still crazy. But why don't you give a gift that keeps on giving? And that's Jesus Christ. Because we probably all have at least one person on our list that doesn't know Jesus. And so maybe this is the time that you can talk to them and let them know that, you know, no matter what else is on their list of wants or needs, the biggest need that they have is Jesus Christ and the eternal salvation. So let them know that the Christmas story in the Bible is true. That Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. That Jesus came to earth to live his life as an example for us. And that he died on the cross, not for anything that he had done. He was an innocent lamb. And he died on the cross for our sins. And let them know that he rose from the dead 3 days later. He was alive. He was seen by the disciples. He was seen by other people. And he ascended into heaven. And he said, I'm coming back. I don't know when, but you just need to be ready. And so if you've got somebody on your list that's not ready, let them know what they need to do. Let them know that that gift has been there, always been there. And maybe you've told them before. Maybe they did or didn't want to listen. You know, nothing you can do about that. but maybe this time, after hearing it maybe over and over, maybe this time they'll decide to accept that gift. But remember, too, if they reject it, that they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, they've made their decision, because there's only two choices. Yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, or no, I don't. If they're saying is, you know, well, not right now, or, you know, I'll think about it, or maybe later, you know, that's a rejection. Okay, there's only a yes and no. And so they haven't rejected you. They've rejected the gift, unfortunately. But let them know that that gift is still there for them to open it up whenever they feel that now is the right time. Because you've given them what they need to know. And some people may be reluctant for whatever reason, but maybe tomorrow they'll decide that, yeah, maybe I do need that gift that they wanted to give me. In Jesus' name, amen.